All right, let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Devin is going to read Exodus 3, verse 2 through 5, and then verse 10. Colby, Exodus 3:10. Matt, Exodus 3:7, Anthony, 1 Corinthians 10:16, Brian, Matthew 3:12, Eli, 1 Thessalonians 5:24, Stephen Underwood, Exodus 3:3, when we get there, Exodus 3:3, Freddie Reed, Exodus 3:5, Trevor read 2 Timothy 2:21, and Devin, did I give you a scripture?
Yeah.
Oh, I did already. Okay. Who's it? Alex? 1 Samuel 3:10. Okay, we started a little while ago a series on Moses, and we're looking at, he had a life of destiny. We're just going through, what is it that causes you to be able to enter into your destiny. And so today we're looking at God calling Moses from a burning bush. He tells Moses his plans for his life, and then he demands a response, because that is foundational to God using our lives, is calling and response. So really, it's calling and surrender. That's the name of the lesson for today. Let's read Exodus 3, 2 through 5, and then verse 10.
And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he looked aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near to this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Okay, calling and surrender. Let's look at the voice of calling here. It's important to see that God calls to Moses from the burning bush. Moses is not asking or seeking God first. So God has the right to speak to us and do what he did for Moses, and that is, God tells Moses God's plans for his life. It's not up to Moses to tell God, what I plan, can you help me? So we see that in verse 10, Exodus 3:10.
And now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and you must bring my people, the Israelites, out from Egypt.
So this is God speaking to him, and he tells him something that was probably very different. He ran away from Egypt. Probably in his mind is never going back there again. But God speaks. So the point is, if we're talking about preaching, please never think that preaching is just, or calling is simply, a career choice. You know, when I was a kid, they had a guidance counselor when I was in junior high, and you could, what do you think you would like to do with your life? And so they could arrange, somebody from that field to come talk to you, and you could go there. Calling is not just another option. I could be an astronaut, I could be a mathematician, or I could preach the gospel. It's not that. God in this, he says, it's my plan. I make a choice for your life, because he has that right. And then he says the logic of why that's important. He says, Moses, you are the answer to somebody else's desperation. Verse 7, Exodus 3:7.
And the Lord said, I have in fact seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt. And I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters. Right. Yeah.
Okay, so God says, think about this. There are people in another place that are hurting, and he says, Moses, you are their answer. Think about that. There are people who went to bed last night and maybe prayed in some way, I wish, or they said as a wish or a hope, I wish that somehow I could get off drugs. I wish that my life could be different. That's no doubt what's happening in Egypt. These people are, man, we are tormented. God, if you could help us in any way. And God says, Moses, you are their answer. That's the logic. God makes the choice. He didn't ask Moses. This is not Moses filling it out on ZipRecruiter.com. It is God, I have something for you to do. And it's not just a job. You can be somebody's answer, making a difference in saving them. So this is really calling to preach now. There are many callings. God could have any, you know, lots of things he wants us to do. But if we're talking about preaching the gospel, there are specific people. When God said there are people there, he knew their names. Right? We read of them as a massive people, the probably 3 million people. God knew the names of the people that are hurting. And that's true for you and I. I marvel when Lisa and I look back and think about the specific people that God, I could name their names. It's not just we did this job. It's people's lives that were changed. For you, God already knows the names of people that he's chosen for you to save. He knows where they are right now. And God says, Moses, you are their answer. Specific cities. I went to Pioneer in two different cities. I've pastored in three different cities besides Prescott, one of which I had never heard of in my entire life. And that's Launceston, Tasmania, where we first pioneered. Johannesburg, I maybe heard in the news a couple of times. No knowledge. And yet God already knew that I was going to go there. And that's true for you. If you're called, God knows exactly what the city you're going to go to, even nations. God spoke. Lisa and I were teenagers. And God spoke to me. He said, Africa, to Lisa, God said, South Africa, specific nation. We're kids watching a conference video, and God had a nation that he wanted us to impact. 1 Corinthians 10:16.
When we bless the cup at the Lord's table, aren't we sharing in the blood of Christ? And when we break the bread, aren't we sharing in the body of Christ?
That's a beautiful scripture. One of us made a mistake. It's either you or me. Is that...
1 Corinthians 10:16.
Yeah. You read it right? Okay. I made a mistake. I know you find it hard to believe. I did it. Occasionally. I do it to make you feel better. That's the only reason why. I meant to do that. The scripture I was actually after is to preach the gospel in regions beyond. That's the whole point in another place. Let's talk second about the fire of calling. So what comes first is the call. I choose because there are people I want you to save. But the second thing is that the fire is a very important part of this calling. It came in the form of fire. Calling came in the form of fire. That's the whole reason why Moses even had this conversation with God, is because he saw fire. And you know, biblically, fire is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, or the power of God at work. This is important because there's the fire of transformation. God may call us as we are right now, but let's be honest, there's a lot of stuff in us that will keep us from doing the will of God, so we need to be transformed. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is to change us. Matthew 3, verse 12.
His winnowing fork is in his hand. He will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire.
Okay, so in the, this is an ancient farming. And so when you cut down the wheat, it has chaff. It has stuff that you can't, you're not going to like that if you grind that up and put it in bread. And so you have to get rid of it. So he's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that God does, he sees our pride, our fear, our selfishness, our greed, our lust, whatever would be our lack of people skills. He says that has to change. And the Holy Spirit can do that. Say, there's no way that I ever could right now. But God can transform. There's the fire of enabling. This is different than we need to be changed from the thing that would stop us. Now it's literally, there are things that are not in us. There are people, there's no way I could ever stand up in front of a crowd. Okay, then God will have to put it in you. Enabling. I'm afraid to witness. Then God will have to enable you or whatever it might be. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Okay, the one who calls is faithful, and the Bible says he will do it. That doesn't mean that we have nothing to do, but at the end of the day, my confidence, God will never ask you to do something that he will not enable you to do. He's not cruel. God's not he's not a prankster, right? He didn't go to the angels like, I called that guy, and there's no way he can do it. No, if he asks you to do something, that means it's possible. Because he will add. That's the Holy Spirit. There's the fire of passion. There's something about this. Jesus said, zeal for your house has consumed me to boil. What has to happen, if you want to be effective, God has to light you on fire. If you're doing the things of God just because you have to, I don't want to go to hell, I suppose I better be. Man, that sucks. There are times you need to do it. I don't feel like doing it, I'm going to do it anyway. True, that's good. That's character. But God help us. We're going to spend the rest of our lives doing things just like it's a job, punching the clock. I want to tell you, I love what I do. All week long, we've had an awesome time after prayer, Greg, but just the questions, answering questions. I don't answer questions because I have to. Yeah. It's not in my job contract. I love it. Sunday school. I wish I could go teach Sunday school right now. I am so excited about the lesson this morning. The word I was typing, it was like, oh yes, this is good. I love what I do. And so honestly, if you love what you do, you're likely to be more effective. Mm-hmm. Isn't that true in all life?
Yeah.
You ever ask a waiter or waitress, you know, hey, what's that dish like? Yeah, it's okay. No, thank you. Passion. If you don't have it, ask God. Let a fire burn in me. And fourthly, is there's the fire of patience. So Moses was off track. 40 years had gone by since he had last tried to help. Remember, we looked at that one. He murders the Egyptian. Verse 3, Exodus 3:3.
This is amazing, Moses said to himself. Why isn't that bush burning up? I must go see it.
Okay. So the point of this is the patience is not Moses' patience, it's God's. 40 years has gone by, and God is still calling him. Okay, so in human nature, you know, what does he say? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Right? So that's it. I'm cutting you off. Thank God, God is nothing like us. So one of the things is he is very patient with us. And the fire still burns. That's why the calling, the bush that's on fire, doesn't burn up. Because God is very patient. So Moses, his life changed when he got near the fire. And the scripture you just read, I'm going to turn aside and see that great sight. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is crucial. You speak in tongues, fantastic. But there's more to the Holy Spirit than speaking in tongues. You need to seek. Holy Spirit, fill me, help me. You need to read about the Holy Spirit. Pray, God, have my life, fill me with your power. Fast for it. Let there be a dimension in you that everybody who comes in contact with you, that they are lit on fire as well, because that is the fire of calling. Final thought is taking off your shoes. Calling is what God does, but it does depend on human response. Exodus 3:5.
Do not come any closer, the Lord warned. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground.
It is such an interesting thing. So God lights this bush on fire, it doesn't burn up, right? Why does he want it? Because he wants Moses to come see it. And then when Moses says, hey, I'm going to come see it, that's what God wanted in the first place, right? God says, don't come closer. Make up your mind. You want me to come closer? You don't want me. The point was, God did not want this to be casual. Right? I'm going to look at Granite Dales. I'm going to look at the burning bush. It's just cool. That would be interesting. You know what? A lot of men, that's how they treat. Think about what I just said to you in the beginning. Almighty God chooses things for us. The problem with many men is they treat that like as a novel. It would be cool. It's like that was exciting and that's cool. That's not calling. It's not. I think it is cool, but it's not a light thing. There needs to be a calling is holy. He says this is holy ground. How dare we treat that as just one of the 10 things that I could possibly do in life? He says, take off your shoes. Don't you dare treat this as some light thing. God called me, and then I blow that off because I'm doing 50 other things in my life. He says, no. You understand, calling doesn't happen to everyone. Not everyone in the world is called. If you have ever heard God's voice telling you something, that's not happening to everybody. So how dare you treat that as, it's the calling thing. Yeah, that's what we do here at the pod. No. Take off your shoes, reverent. In other words, God, what is important to you is important to me. Take off your shoes. I am going to mark this moment. I can tell you. You often hear me when I tell the story of when I feel called. I recite where it was, 41 Walcott Street, Mount Lawley, in the city of Perth, West Australia, June 1981. Because I marked that moment. From that moment, everything had to change. Because I understood Almighty God called me. My entire life changed from that moment because I treated it as holy. So the practical aspect of treating it that way, God commands him to take off his shoes, sandals, but we don't wear sandals much at all, so let's call them shoes. Think about this. God says your shoes will keep you from hearing what I have to say. If you keep your shoes on, I'm not talking to you. Why? Number one, because shoes were dirty. So this is very practical. If God calls us, it may well be that there are things in our life that shouldn't be there. So the answer is repentance. 2 Timothy 2:21.
If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master, prepared to do any good work.
Okay, and the NIV, I think, says all who make themselves clean from evil will be used for special purposes. There's something, if you're called, it's like, calling is like extra. If Almighty God has a plan for my life to touch other people, and he already knows the people, the city, the nation, part of that is, God, I should not be like everybody else. Other people, that may be okay for them, but I want to be holy. Shoes are dirty, so I'm going to take off anything that is dirty in my life that would prevent me from hearing from you. Secondly, shoes enabled Moses' plans. Right? Shoes are what enabled him to run away from Egypt. Shoes are, I'm able to work my job. So taking them off, what happens if a wild animal comes to attack, you're vulnerable. Those were dangerous places, dangerous times. What if somebody comes to attack? They're trying to kill. Excuse me, I got to tie my sandals. Right? You're vulnerable. So taking them off is actually an act of surrender. That's what has to happen in calling. I don't think I gave Acts 9:6. Did I? You got it? Go ahead.
So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Okay, this is Saul, who becomes the Apostle Paul, is he says, what do you want me to do? 1 Samuel 3, verse 10.
Now the Lord came and stood and called us at other times, Samuel, Samuel, and Samuel answered, speak, for the your servant hears.
Okay, so this is Samuel, he's a young boy, and a man of God who had gotten off track gave him wisdom, says, if God speaks to you, you tell God, I'm listening. What do you want me to do? So Moses, take off your shoes means you are submitted to God's voice. And that's what Samuel did. Speak to me. There should be something in life. I'm hoping when you pray, you're not just giving God a shopping list. Part of prayer is, God, what do you want me to do? Help me. Guide me. Anything you want me to do today, I'll do it. What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my time, my money? God, speak to me. And then if God speaks, surrender is, I change my plans. Everything. I was 16 years old when I moved to Australia. My love, what I loved in life was not Jesus. I was saved, but I didn't love Jesus. I loved cars. I learned to drive in Corvettes. My first car was a Pontiac GTO, 69 GTO. I love cars. That was what I'm going to do with my whole life. The moment that I felt called, I have never gone back to hot rods again. Never. Because I'm a different core. That was practical for me. Maybe you don't like cars. I don't know. But for other people, you got to make choices. Went to South Africa last year. One of my disciples, he's pastoring now, and a convert, got saved. He wanted to be an Olympic sprinter. It was a big deal, but Jesus was calling him. And he told me about how he made up his mind. I think he said on a Wednesday night, I am leaving that dream behind. You have called me to preach. So every person, if you're called and you're living exactly the same as you always have, something's wrong. Then you're not surrendered. Because it will make practical changes. And when Moses surrendered to God's voice and God's choice, blessing comes in, it happens in you. I was different. When I said yes to God, I was a different man from that time. Already saved. There's something about surrendering. I changed. And then blessing came through me for other people. And I thank God for the blessing that God enabled because I took off my shoes according to this scripture. Let's bow our heads just for a moment. God, right now you see the potential in every one of these hearts. Oh God, and these young men, you can touch them. I am asking that you speak to every man here. God, if you have a plan for their life, show it to them. If you want them to preach the gospel, show it to them. God, I'm not in charge of calling, you are. And I am asking you to do a miracle in their hearts, Lord God, a transformation. God calls them to lay down anything that would keep them from responding to the call. God, let them know the joy that I have. God, I'm so grateful for the converts, for the blessings, the disciples you've given me. God, you have that for them. I'm asking you would show it to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. First of all, I'm going to do a couple things, but first of all, questions. Something you want to ask. this or about calling?
When the Holy Spirit starts to change something in you that needs to be changed, is it a constant conviction to where it eventually makes one to make that change, opposed to not even giving thought about it when you're living in sin, unsaved?
Yes. You know, I mean, there's all different kinds of changes, Stephen. There are people that God spoke to them, boom, that, you know, I've had people that, you know, lifelong smoker, boom, it's gone. Mm-hmm. Never again. Other people, it's like, it's a battle, but they're wanting to do right. The whole point is that, yes, there are changes that you make that are so fundamental, you know, it's not something like a daily struggle, will I or won't I, you know, I'm a different man. It's completely out of your life. Yeah, so that can happen for sure.
Sometimes the things that God puts in your heart, they're not obvious, like obviously sin or things that just need to go. In your experience, when you have responded to those things, those subtle things that God put on your heart to do, and you responded in that way, did you ask for confirmation in some way, or did you just feel that it was right, or was there like, how did you know, maybe you didn't know for years that that was the right choice, is that possible, or after you made that decision and said, okay, you felt God stir you to do something, you did, and you're like, okay, was that right?
Yeah.
Well, that of course can be a very broad question. The things God speaks to us are in so many different ways. There are things that God may speak to me and it's something that is going to affect my wife, so I'm going to involve her in the discussion, like for instance, giving amounts. Often my wife and I will be on the same page. Calling, obviously, going overseas, there are different things that, it's that kind of thing. There are other things that are just, I feel I should do that, it'll pay off over time, you won't see it for a long time. Getting up early, that was a big deal to me. I really struggled to get up early. Now I can't sleep in, I've done it for so long, but getting up early and reading my Bible, talking to God. Before I got here this morning, I've already been talking to God, and I've already been reading my Bible. And so that's something that pays off over time. It's not like I did it for 2 days, like the guys who diet. Like, do you notice anything different about me? You know. Yeah, it pays off. Then there are things that you might not. Yeah, they're just personal things. I got to work on that. And you see on down the road how much it helped. So it's a hard question to say. This is, you know, bottom line, whatever he tells you to do, do it. Then, of course, then there are things that you need confirmation. The things of confirmation are life-altering decisions, right? I'm going to quit my job. I'm going to move. I'm going to, you know, that's going to change your whole life. So that's not something, be like, you know, where's Matt? God spoke to him. He moved. Like, what? You know, so you get my point. So that's what you need confirmation on things that are outside of the ordinary. That's the key. Somebody else?
Yep. So Moses made like subtle changes, right? He saw the bush and then he turned to it and went to it. Is it true in our calling that as you make those gradual changes that God is like prompting you to make, that more will be revealed? Sometimes
I
pray for like I want to know kind of what city, I want to know more.
Yeah. So, but the Bible says to him who has or uses what they have, more will be given. It's very unlikely that a person who, I mean, God can do anything. It's unlikely that God will speak to you today and by this afternoon reveal the city, number one. Number two is if God speaks to us and we don't do it, and he speaks to us again and reminds us, right, it's unlikely that he's going to do that until he sees that we're going to obey. And then as you come into that, then God reveals. And it's not necessary, right? You don't have to know the city or the nation in order to do the will of God. There are hurting people everywhere. But you can. Yeah, God can speak to you in time. Definitely. Good. Somebody else.
There's some practical things you can do to get more passion.
Well, I think, you know, number one, passion is if you ask God for it. Sure, that'd be a good prayer. Wouldn't that be a good prayer? I mean, God, I need a Maserati. You might be able to live without that, but passion would be something he would love to give us. That's one. Then reading books of passionate people stirs you. And then, of course, who you expose your life to. There are people that they bring you down. They want to take you in a different direction. There are people that are downers, talk you out of it. I want to be around people that they light me up. I love good food. It's depressing to me to be around a person who thinks Golden Corral is fine cuisine. So, because they're not stirring me. I like talking about food with Pastor Diego. Yeah. He's into it. His eyes start shining. Oh, dear. So, yeah. But it's like that with passion. I got around other guys that were excited and passionate, and it stirs the fire. That's what the scripture we mentioned yesterday, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
That's what it is other people can make you better and ignite something in you. Because everybody has a spirit, right?
Yes.
So find somebody that's got a good spirit, be around them.
A pioneer pastor going into a city, you know, sometimes like the city's really not highlighted, or you know, God's like, hey, let me go to, you know, for example, whatever city. But like, you know, like that interesting of Gilbert's case, you know, God kind of like highlighted Shreveport, Louisiana, maybe Alabama or something. But when you have something like that, is it you go into it, okay, God, I think you're guiding me to the city. For a confirmation in the response? Is that part of the confirmation ultimately?
Are we talking before or after you're there?
I guess ultimately, like after. Because a lot of, I'm talking about, I guess, in cases though that he hasn't really spoken to you, let's say, given throughout the city.
Yeah, but it's, again, it's not necessary. Yeah. Part of that then is in the absence of it is use logical common sense. Right? So if God is not telling you something, let's just, where should I go? I want to go to the hardest city that no one has ever had revival in before. 50 guys have gone and they quit the ministry. Yeah, gee, that's the place I want to go. That doesn't make sense, right? I want to go to a town of 2,000 people where no one has ever moved. They live in the same house until they... Those, you know what I mean? There's logical common sense. In the absence of, where are we getting response? Where are people moving to? You know, that kind of thing is people are already open to change. Then you get into demographics, Mexicans, military, M&Ms or key to revival, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So you use logical common sense. When you use logical common sense, then you wind up, it's like, whoa, this was the will of God. God guides you anywhere as well.
Well, at the end, are you looking for that response, right?
It doesn't, well, no, response is, when you're saying response, to me, that's once you're there.
Right.
Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, once you make a choice, it's like a wife. Once you make a choice, that's it, baby. Better make the best of it, right? So you give it all you got. That's the point. So how you get to the city is not really the issue. Some guys is I need you to go there. Okay, well, that wasn't on my radar. But once I'm there, this is the will of God. Absolutely. I'm pedal to the metal doing all I can. So... Then you discover response. God helps you in different ways. Yeah. Sure. Casey?
In your
I don't think so, Casey. I think that's unhealthy. So, no, I would not view it that way. Because if you are, because then if for any reason, if you get distracted from calling, the danger of viewing it like that is condemnation. What's the good of even being saved if I'm not, that's not healthy. No, I would not agree with that. I would say it is a separate thing. Let's just leave it at that. No, I would not say that they're, because we have good people in church. They're making a contribution. They probably are called. They're not doing it. That is not a reflection on they're not saved. And normally people who view it that way, either they have unhealthy, that comes out of rejection, right? My Father in heaven hates me because I'm not preaching the gospel today. That's just not healthy. That's not how God views it. Like I said, Moses, 40 years. Like, come on. How long does it take you to hear from God? 40 years. And yet God still speaks, right? So clearly that would not be healthy. And then, of course, the idea, all or nothing. You hear that. I think we should give our all. But that's often said by guys who they're doing good. It's almost like a matter of pride. Right? Are you giving all? I'm giving all. Right? So then, but the effect, the unfortunate effect is you're a worm if you're not like me. So why are you even here? That's very unhealthy. Yep. Two different things.
Pastor, so let's say, for instance, if you do feel like you're called to be a preacher. You've never preached before, and you're very involved in church, and you know you feel like you're on fire. You feel like, you know what, I can do this, all that good stuff, and you're ready to do it. But you've never preached before. How is there something, is there like an interview, like how you do like mock interviews before you get into the interview? Is there like an angle on how to say, hey, Stephen, look, all right, you're going to preach to 150 people today in, you know, wherever in California or whatever, and, you know, this is going to be a certain, get coached up a little bit, but then you're just like, all right, yeah, remember your training, right? You know your lesson, you're going to get all, you know, throw it all in there. But then when you get there, you're thinking, you're second-guessing yourself, like, am I going to say something wacky? Is it going to be kooky? Am I going to be out of control? Am I going to like just be like, hallelujah, let's do this? Or is it like, hey, tone it down, brother. Like, you know, you're going to go to a conservative town. And how do you get that? Like, you might be ready to go, but then what if you just like blow it? You know, like, you know, like,
oh, Stephen, I love your question. God bless you. It's a process. So number one, get good at witnessing. Everything is, the Bible says, how do things grow? The book of Mark says, it's like seed planted in the ground. If you plant wheat or corn, what comes up first? The blade, then the ear of corn, and then there's corn in the ear. You don't just plant a seed like, corn on the cob came up, wow! Right? It's a process. So, witnessing to where you are totally confident at that. I do that a lot. I witness. Then it might be street preaching. We have times where we preach on the streets. That's a practical way to, you know, dip your foot in the water of preaching. That's a different. Then in time, often for us is then guys are, I want to do an outreach. I want to lead an outreach, you know. And so they organize an outreach, and it's on you. You preach. Guys enter into speaking by maybe just helping in a Bible study as an assistant. Bible study, then preaching a concert, and then preaching a sermon. So it's a stage. But God will make sure that you are equipped and helped for whatever stage you're at. And then whatever He tells you to do, do it. He'll show you the next stage. It'll be good. I want to do something. I want to agree. You know, we've been having, Brandon Fisher's been bringing some of the boys from the football team. And I want to pray that God would give these boys revelation. conversion. Some of them that God has brought them here. I believe that God brought them from wherever they are in the U.S. to Little White Prescott, Arizona, to save them and to reveal His will for their life. And so I want to pray. You know, we've had through the years in many of our churches, we've had professional sportsmen that get saved. And God so saves them that ultimately they decide, you know what, this was not, I was here for my sport, but in fact, God brought me here. And what we need is revelation. Some of the guys are, and I don't want you to, please, if you take them out for a hamburger, don't be hassling them about that. God has to reveal. That's not our job to reveal. But conversion. That's when you're working with people or they're coming, God has to speak to it. Flesh and blood can't reveal it. God has to do a miracle. But it is on my heart, and is I want to pray for these boys that God is bringing. There's numbers of them that some of them have come to church. Others are coming to fellowship. They'll come for the food because they're big eaters. But whatever, they're coming in contact with the gospel. So let's stand up. I want to agree that God is going to help them. Some of them, even, you know, Sam is already a Christian, but if God would give him revelation that he gets what we're about, God could use him powerfully. Some of the boys that came is Veda and Dominic and Tremon, and there's probably some others that have come different times. I want to pray that God's going to help Brandon Fisher to be fruitful, but let's pray that God will save and give them revelation and do a miracle in these boys, okay? Let's pray together right now. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, we're going to believe God for them, and if you're working with them, feeding them, come in contact with them. Let's believe God's going to do a miracle with these boys and help us. All right? Okay, that's all we got. Here's the lessons.